Glad he knows my name. If you want your Bibles, turn to Psalm 27. Psalm 27. Talking about being thankful today, and I think for me, being thankful today for God's goodness and His faithfulness. So I'm going to preach this to myself this morning, and you can just listen along as we talk about God's goodness and faithfulness. Psalm 27, verse 11 says, "Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in the plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty." Look at verse 13. "I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. "Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You again for Your love for us and the blessings of knowing that we're saved and on our way to heaven. But God, we praise You and thank You that You are so good to us and faithful, and that that will never change. We pray that we would be a thankful people. In Jesus' name, amen. When we were studying a couple of years, maybe it's 3 years ago now, the attributes of God, we mentioned a quote by A.W. Tozer. A.W. Tozer said this. He says, "What comes into your mind when you think about God is the most important thing about you. What you think about when you think about God is the most important thing about you. It determines everything about your life." I know it doesn't seem that way, but it does. It determines decisions you make. It determines how you feel, how you react to discouragement, how you react to problems and storms in your life. How you know or what you think about God is the most important thing about you. Again, we as human beings have a tendency to shape God into our own likeness. And many times we think about God as being up there somewhere, looking down on us as maybe a middle-aged, American. But can I tell you, God is more than a human being. He's way above us. He is transcendent. That means He's wholly other. He's far above anything that we could even comprehend. And I'm thankful that He does give us some light as to who He is. He gives us that light through the Word of God and through His creation and through His Son, Jesus Christ, in order that we might know Him. He wants us to know Him, but to fully comprehend Him is another thing, which we'll never be able to do. God is eternal and therefore wholly other, transcendent. But understand this, that again, what we think about God is the most important thing about us. And we need to be careful about putting God in a box and saying God is like this or God is like that, when again, He is wholly other. Again, we can come up with attributes and things that He is sort of like. It's like, think about something that it's hard to describe. That's God. God is wholly other. We think about God, we think about those who sought to know Him. In fact, Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, he said, "I count all things but loss." Now, Paul had been shipwrecked, he'd been beaten. Paul was a religious leader before he found the Lord and before God met him there on the road to Damascus. And after having accepted Christ as a Savior, Paul was cruelly beaten and sought after to be killed. Just amazing. But Paul said, I count all those things but loss. He said, "I count my education. I count the riches I could have had. I count the leadership I could have had. I count the prestige and prominence I could have had that I might know Christ." Amen. He said, "I count all that," but he said, "I count all those things I had former to coming to the saving knowledge of Christ. I count all those things before that as dung, as sewer, as worthless, that I might know Him." David said, "As the hart or as the deer panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after Thee, O God." David wanted to know God. He wanted to know Him more. And we as Christians ought to want to know Him more. But to understand and know His genuineness, to understand and know His greatness, to understand and know His goodness, His moral perfections, that God, again, is wholly other. And we ought to be thankful for God. Ought to be thankful for His goodness and faithfulness is what we'll study today. Psalm 31 verse 19 says, "Oh, how great is thy goodness." Psalm 33 in verse 5 says, "The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord." The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Psalm 52 verse 1 says, "The goodness of God endureth continually." Psalm 107 says, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness." The book of Romans speaks about that those who do not know the Lord despise His goodness. They despise His goodness. And that, look here, it says, "And goodness, the goodness of God leadeth to repentance." That we see God's goodness. We see how great God is and what He is to us and what He means to us. And it causes us to repent. It's like, man, God is so good to us. How bad am I? You know, we are so, again, sometimes so unthankful. Thessalonians speaks of His goodness. In Matthew chapter 9, there is none good but God. Psalm 89, just a few pages over, if you're still in Psalm. Psalm 89, verse 1 says, "I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever, and thy faithfulness shall thou establish in the very heavens." Again, "with my mouth will make known thy faithfulness to all generations." That God is a good God, but He is also faithful. He is a faithful God. Lamentations chapter 3, and Jeremiah speaking, says, "It is the Lord's mercy. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed." I know this is a hard statement, and sometimes a preacher will say it and kind of takes you back a little bit, but do you understand that we as human beings deserved hell? We deserve hell because of our sin, because of our selfishness, because we are selfish by nature. We deserve hell. But God, in His mercy, not giving us the punishment that we deserve, it's because of His mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassion fails not. They are new every morning. And then Jeremiah says, "Great is thy faithfulness." Great is thy faithfulness. Our God is a good God. Our God is a faithful God. He is faithful. We speak of God's goodness. And God is good. By the way, He is good all the time. His goodness. It means, goodness simply means kind, cordial, benevolent, and full. And again, we think about Him being full of goodwill toward men. He is tender-hearted and of quick sympathy. And His unfailing attitude toward all moral beings is open, frank, and friendly. That's a quote by Tozer. Kind, cordial, benevolent, and full of goodwill toward men. He is tender-hearted and of quick sympathy. And His unfailing attitude toward all moral beings is open, frank, and friendly. We think about God's goodness. God's goodness is taught or implied all throughout the Bible. It's taught or implied, God's goodness. It is seen by all through the daily blessings that He shows upon us, that He showers upon us. There shall be showers of blessings. We think about the blessings that we all receive. His goodness is the foundation of all His gracious acts. In other words, Him blessing us, Him giving to us, and Him thinking of us, all these things are based upon His gracious acts, that God loves us. We were created for His good pleasure. He cares about us. He knows our name. The Bible, I make fun of it, but He knows the number of hairs on our head, the Bible says. That's amazing. God knows us. God personally knows us. God personally cares for us. And one of the attributes of God is that He is personal. God didn't just create the earth and create the universe, wind it up like a clock and throw it into outer space to forget about it. No, He is daily faithful. He daily is good to us. It's what the psalmist says. He is daily there, daily for us. His mercies endure forever. He is good and gracious to us. God's goodness is the foundation to all His gracious acts. And God is good. His immutability. In other words, God cannot change. God cannot change. God cannot change. I change. We as people change, but God cannot change. Therefore, He will never be less kind or more kind. God is no respecter of persons. The Bible says He sends the rain on the just and the unjust. God is no respecter of persons. Can I remind you that God loves everyone? God loves everyone, no matter your ethnic persuasion, no matter your social standing in life, no matter whether He gave you an ugly gene or a pretty gene. God loves you, and God cares for you, and He personally knows you and personally cares for you. Amen. and He is good to us. And then His immutability means He cannot change. So He loves me today, He'll love me tomorrow. Right? Because His love does not change. Now my love does. Right? Yeah. We as human beings, our feelings and our loving, that changes from day to day. But God's love doesn't. He is immutable. He never changes. He's the same today, yesterday, and forever. God never changes. He's always the same. This statement here, prayer doesn't earn God's favor. He hears because He is good. I don't earn God's favor by praying to Him. God loves me unconditionally. He hears my prayer because He's good, because He cares. Tozer said this, he says, faith is simply confidence in the goodness of God. Confidence in the goodness of God. And therefore, a lack of faith is a lack of confidence in the goodness of God. That God is good. Life-changing, the goodness of God. We live under friendly skies. In other words, God is eager to be friends, or God is eager to bless us. Think about this. Sin has made us timid and fearful. Again, so many times we approach God like a king, fearful because of our rebellion. I'm going to give an illustration in just a minute, so stay with me. But He is no earthly king. He forgives and forgets. Many times, we come to God maybe in a fearful way because of the sin in our life. Because we have rebelled against Him. And sometimes we come before Him fearful, like you would come before a dictator, before a king. But we live under friendly skies, in that God is good, and God is caring, and God is kind. And God loves us. He wants the best possible good for us in our life. Right? God is a caring and loving God. So we must understand that when we come to Him, we don't have to fear Him. Another thing is that He forgives and forgets. And that's something for us that is hard to comprehend. That when I go to Him, as John chapter 1 verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And John is speaking to saved, born-again people there, not lost people, not those who are unsaved. He's speaking to saved, born-again Christians when he said to them, if you'll come and confess your sins before God, He will forgive you. Amen. And He will forget. You say, well, that's impossible. Not with God. See, when somebody says to me, preacher, I did you wrong, will you forgive me? And I say yes, and Lord willing and graciously, I do forgive, but I don't forget. Yeah. Right? You get in a fight with your wife. I'm sorry, a disagreement. You get in a disagreement with your wife, husband and wife, a disagreement. That never happens, I know. But disagreement. And in the end, you make up and things go well. But 3 or 4 years later, for some reason, I won't say which gender generally brings it up. But generally speaking, it comes back up. Why? Because we don't forget. We don't forget. God forgets. I know we can't comprehend that. But He forgets. Isn't that amazing? Amen. God's goodness. In God's goodness, He forgives and He forgets. And so when we come to Him as if sometimes we have all this baggage, all this stuff we have done in the past. We must understand He's already forgiven us of those things. Yeah. It's amazing. That's old Satan just lying to us, trying to bring up all the skeletons in our closets that God's already forgiven us of. Amen. He is no earthly king. He forgives and forgets. What God is like in His goodness? All right, here's the best one. What is God like in His goodness? How are we to know? How are we to understand? In what way does God help us understand His goodness? Through His Son, Jesus Christ. We see the greatest part, if you would, of God, and not the greatest part, God's characteristics are all equal. But we get to understand and know God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad Jesus Christ is good? That He is good in everything that He did, everything that He done for us. Again, Jesus said, if you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. God was manifest in the flesh. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. He, being in the brightness of the glory and express image of His person. God, Jesus Christ, was God in the flesh. And when we read about Him and get to know Jesus, we get to know God. And Jesus Christ was indeed good. He was good to the Pharisees. He was just to the Pharisees. By the way, to the Pharisees, He was cold. He pointed out a few things to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He might have called them sepulchers, vipers. Him and John the Baptist were pretty outspoken about the Pharisees and Sadducees. That's why I just don't get sometimes people saying, well, preacher, you really shouldn't call names from the pulpit because that would affect how somebody people might feel. You know, some people like Joel Osteen and think he's a godly man. You know, don't point out people from the pulpit who are wolves in sheep's clothing. And we ought to. Amen. Jesus Christ did. Amen. And He pointed them out. And I shouldn't have said Joel Osteen from the pulpit this morning, but I did. Twice. I said the other night, I'm thankful for a church that I can get up and preach and teach without having to think about, I'll still have a job in the morning. I appreciate that. And Joel Osteen's probably a good person. Please don't think that I'm not trying to kill him, you know, his character himself, but his teachings and his doctrine are way off. And I would not recommend any of his books or any of his teachings. He's a motivational speaker. If you want to read him to help you lose weight, go ahead. By the way, he publicly has said that. He's a motivational speaker. That's what he is. He's not a Bible preacher. Joel Osteen. I've said it like 7 times now. Now I can't stop saying it. But Jesus Christ was indeed cold to the Pharisees. He pointed out their hypocrisies. But to the humble, He was gracious and kind. To the humble, He was gracious and kind. We think about the illustration that and the parable that Jesus Christ gave Himself about the prodigal son. And the prodigal son who was the son of a rich man who there, and he said, came to his dad one day and said, I want my inheritance. And his dad gave him his inheritance. He left home and went and spent it all in riotous living. He just lived it up. He partied. All sorts of things and drank and ran around with prostitutes. And the Bible's very clear about all these things that he did. And one day he came to himself. He found himself without his friends because he ran out of money. Yeah. And you ran out of money, you'll see who your real friends are. Ran out of money, ran out of job, and was working on a pig farm. And he was a Jew. He was supposed to be working with pigs. Working on a pig farm, feeding and slopping hogs, and was to the point of eating the slop. And I won't go through the whole story, but one day he came to himself and he said, you know what? The servants in my father's house have it better than me. He said, I'll go back to my dad's house and I'll ask him if I can simply be one of his servants. And he began his journey back home. And again, as he entered the gate of that large estate, you could see him rounding the corner and entering that gate with those big rock pillars coming up and big metal gate, and opens him up. And as he's walking down the lane, as he's walking down that long road there to the house, he sees somebody running towards him. It's his dad. His dad is running towards him. His dad had been watching for him. His dad had been looking for him, no doubt, every day. And he runs down the lane. He picks his son up and he hugs him and he kisses him. And he says to his servants, bring the fatted calf and bring the coat and bring the ring and put it on his finger. And his dad loved on him and forgave him. And just what a great picture and illustration for us of how our Heavenly Father feels about us. In fact, when Jesus was telling that parable, in Luke chapter 15, when he's giving that parable, the parable he is giving is he's giving that to the Pharisees. He's saying to the Pharisees, hey, you don't understand what God really is like. And let me illustrate it for you by the story. And he tells them the story. He said, that's how God feels about those who stray. That's how God feels about those who are lost. That's how God feels about those who go out into the world and do all those things. God still loves them, and God cares for them, because God is good. And God is good. By the way, if you're here this morning, Jesus loves you, all of us. He loves the sinner. He loves me. I'm so thankful. And Jesus Christ came 2,000 years ago and died for sinners like me. He died for sinners like you. Gave his life on Calvary. Shed his blood on Calvary. Not for sins he had done. The Bible says he, God the Father, made him, God the Son, to be sin for us. To be sin for us. That we through his sacrifice, that we through his death might have the righteousness of God in him. That Jesus Christ came and lived that sinless life for 33 and a half years. And then went to the cross and died for me and for my sins. He paid the penalty for my sins. He paid the debt that I owed for my sins. He died for me, that I might have eternal life, that I might escape hell and have a home in heaven. I hope this morning you know that if you were to die today, that heaven would be your home. If you don't today, you can know. You can know. Simply walk the aisle here in a little bit when the music begins, and we'll show you from the Bible how you can have eternal life, how you can truly understand and know the goodness of God. God is a good God. What is God like? What we see in God's goodness like, we see that in the person of Jesus Christ. We think about all the healing and raising of the dead even, and just how good Jesus Christ was when he was here on earth. By the way, he's still being good to us today. The greatness of God, how big God is, many times rouses the fears within us. But the goodness of God encourages us not to be afraid of him, because we know that he has our best interest in mind. God is good and God is faithful. His immutability, in other words, his inability to change, presupposes his faithfulness. In other words, if God is good and God is faithful today, and he's immutable, he cannot change, then it presupposes he'll be good and faithful tomorrow. Amen? So the immutability of God presupposes his faithfulness. He cannot change and therefore cannot be unfaithful. We know that mankind can. I don't know if you've ever experienced it before or not, but every once in a while you meet somebody who's not faithful. Nobody's ever experienced that before. Nobody's ever had anybody do them wrong or whatever. But yeah. Every once in a while you meet somebody who's unfaithful to you. But God is always faithful. He cannot change. Men are unfaithful because of fear. Men are unfaithful because of weakness and loss. And we are so influenced by those things that are without. In other words, those things that we are impacted by the environment we're around. And therefore, because of fear, many times we will not keep a promise. Hello? Sometimes because of some force or some discouragement or something going on in our life that comes into our life, we won't keep a promise, or we won't do something we were supposed to have done. Sometimes we're just not faithful because of our experiences in life. Amen. But see, God isn't influenced by those things without. God doesn't fear. The Bible says God's not even the author of fear. God doesn't fear. God isn't influenced by sources and things from without. God is not fazed by forces from without. He is faithful. By the way, he is faithful in his love and justice equally. We have a loving God, but we also have a just God. God is a faithful God. By the way, when he returns one day, on his vesture will be written, faithful and true. Faithful and true. He is coming back. As we think about being thankful in this day, the Bible says in the last days, perilous times shall come, that people will be unthankful. And we see that today, don't we? But we know that when he does return, again, that on his garment will be written the words, faithful and true. God is faithful and true. He always keeps his promises. Jesus Christ will return, as Brother Wiggins has been preaching on Wednesday nights. The trumpet will sound one day. The dead in Christ will rise. Then we which are alive and remain will be caught up to be with him in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And Paul says there in Thessalonians, comfort one another with these words. We take comfort in knowing that God is faithful, that he always keeps his promises, that his immutability, his his inability to change because he's God presupposes his faithfulness, and he will be faithful to keep his promises. And he's promised. He said, I go away. He says to his disciples, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. If I go away, I'll go away and prepare a place for you. If I prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And what a day that'll be, amen? When my Jesus I shall see, when I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. He's coming again. I love that song, coming again, coming again. Maybe morning, maybe noon, maybe, but surely soon, coming again. What a wonderful day that will be. Jesus is coming again. God is faithful. His faithfulness brings peace and assurance. Not just peace and assurance, but peace and assurance of heaven. Of heaven. I'm thankful of heaven and the reality of heaven. Another great song is Great is Thy Faithfulness. Some of y'all know it. I won't sing it. But Great is Thy Faithfulness, O God our Father. The song says, there is no shadow of turning within thee. There's no changing of God. He doesn't change. It's a great old song. Great is thy faithfulness. When we're tempted and when we're tested and when we're discouraged, we have hope, confidence in the faithfulness of God. That God is good all the time. That he always has our best interest in mind. Can I say it again? God is good all the time. All the time. And that he always has our best interest in mind. Sometimes it's hard to line up Romans 8:28. That God works all things together for good. But we know the Bible says it, and therefore it's true. God cares for us. He personally cares for you. No matter what situation you may be in, God loves you this morning, and he's good all the time. God is faithful. He's unchanging. He keeps his word. He promised to never leave us nor forsake us. We know that's true. Amen. And God's promise that he's coming again. I'm looking forward to that day, aren't you? Amen. Let's all stand. Hymn 41, there is a fountain filled with blood after we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness. And Lord, for your faithfulness to us. Help us, Lord, to be a thankful people. Help us to count our blessings. Again, help us to remember the greatness of your faithfulness. God, we pray this morning for someone here who's never accepted you as Savior. I pray today they might get saved. That the reality of heaven and hell might become so real to them, Lord, that it would just compel them to step out of their chair and come forward and accept you today. That the reality of Jesus and what he did on the cross would compel them to step out of their chair and come forward and accept you today. God, help us again to be a thankful people. We thank you for this great country. We thank you for our families and for our home and for our marriages and, Lord, for our kids and for the grandkids and, Lord, for our homes and our jobs and Lord, for retirement and, Lord, all the things you've done for us in our lives. We thank you for this great church and our church family. We pray for your continued blessings. With thanksgiving we ask in Jesus' name, amen.